Blog Talk Radio.
Everything happening today, you don't know whether you're coming or going, but you think that you're on your way. Life lined up on the mirror, don't blow it. Whoa, look at me when I'm talking to you. You looking at me, but I'm looking through you. I see the blood in your eyes. I see the love in disguise. I see the pain hidden in your pride. You're not satisfied, and I don't see nobody else. I see myself. I'm looking at the
mirror on the wall. Whoa. Here we are again. Through my rise and fall, you've been my only friend. You told me that they can understand the man I am. So why are we here talking to each other?
I see the truth in your lies. I see nobody by your side. But I'm with you when you're all alone. And you correct me when I'm looking wrong. I see the guilt beneath the shame. I see your soul through your window pane. I see the scars that remain. I see Wayne. I'm looking at the
mirror on the wall.
Past, I look just like my dad. Light it up, that smoke and mirrors. I even look good in the broken mirror. I see my mama smile, that's a blessing. I see the change, I see the message. And no message could have been any clearer. So I'm starting with the man in the
mirror on the wall.
MJ taught me that.
Here we are again, through my rise and fall. You've been my only friend.
Take them to Mars, man.
You told me that they can understand the man I am. So why are we talking to each other again?
BP, looks like I did take him to Mars this time.
So why are we talking to each other again?
It is Sunday, May 7th. I am your host, Pastor D. It is great to be alive. It is great to be in the flesh. It is great to be before you just one more time. How are you doing, my friends? It truly has been a while, but you know, on the flip side of it, sometimes taking a break can be the best thing for you, amen? And so I am so grateful that we are back live, we are back here just one more time to be able to expound and to share the knowledge and the truth of my Jesus, who is my Lord, my Savior, everything. Come on into the pool, the water is just fine over here. You know, I don't know how you're feeling on this Sunday evening, but let me tell you, I am excited, I am happy, I am encouraged. I've been encouraged all day. Why? Because church was amazing today. The spirit flowed, and, you know, it was just something about when you come together with those who believe what you believe, what it can do for you. And that's the blessing. That's the blessing that we find when we attend church, and, man, we get spiritually uplifted. I'm going to speak about that in a minute. But if you would like to reach the show, you can always email me on the Jubilee FM Facebook page. But the quickest way is to call the show. The number is 319-527-6218. Again, that number is 319-527-6218. Press the number 1, and you'll be placed in the queue. And at the appropriate time, you will be able to speak with myself, amen, and someone who is always with me, my good brother, Mr. Hakeem Nuba. How you doing today, sir? He was here, amen. He might have stepped away, amen. But let us pray. Eternal Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you have done. We thank you for all that you are about to do. We ask right now, Father God, that you would open up some doors for your people, that you would bless them, that you would keep them. You know what we are in the need of, Father God, before we even ask of it. And thus, Father God, we thank you. We lift you up. We give you all honor and all praise. Father God, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help do I know. You have been so good to me. Things that I have received that I would have never thought. You have blessed me. I thank you. I thank you for the gifts that you have given me. And I will always use my gifts to give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Something came to my spirit a little while ago, and I have to speak about it. We have to be very mindful of what we allow into our spirits, into our areas, into our temples, and we have to be very mindful. It's time for God's people to step outside of the darkness. One that resonates in my spirit is Plato's Allegory of the Cave. If you are unaware of what I'm speaking about, Plato wrote a piece on how he viewed human life. He said that humans are chained in a cave of darkness. There's a chain on their arms that's connected to a stone. And every once in a while these people are trying to run out of the darkness, because it has been a thought that since almost the beginning of time that humans are afraid of the dark. And I believe that why we are afraid of the dark is because most of us cannot see in the dark. So you become vulnerable to the things that can see in the dark. And if it's something that is ravenous, that is coming at you, you will not be able to see it, but it can see you. Thus, most humans, most of us do not like to be in a dark area where we cannot see. But in this sense, the allegory of the cave represented both struggle and freedom, because the cave was dark, dusty, sometimes muddy, whatever you can think of. And while these men were chained to these rocks, and if they kept struggling, sometimes the chains would break. And when the chains would break, they would run out the cave and run into the glorious light. And most times, having been in that cave for so long, they would come out the cave and they would just marvel at the light and would desire to always be in the light. But then there are other times that they would run out into the light after the chains had fallen off of their arms. And the light would be so bright for them that they hated the light, and they would run back into the cave and put the chain back on. Sometimes they would rather be in darkness than to face their own issues. So I say that to say that it now is a time for God's people to step out of the cave and into the light. I don't care if you are the bishop. I don't care if you are the pastor. I don't care if you are on the ministerial staff. I don't care if you are the officers, the deacons, the trustees, the stewards, whatever you want to be. I don't care if you are the lay, the missionaries, whatever you are, and you have a struggle within you, it is time to give it over to God. We all struggle. We all have issues. We all have problems. We all have those things that come upon us. And Lord knows, I am one for sure that knows about the struggle and knows about the tug. Because the streets are always calling my name. That was something that I used to love, was the streets. And they call my name every single day. But because of the precious blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed from that. Some people believe that I've been this way my entire life. Well, let me tell you something that it's not the truth. And those that know me might think that, but guess what? It is because I hid it so well. But it's time that we get out of the darkness. It's time for you to get your minds and your bodies in sync. And it's time that you open up your mouth and give God some glory. And I promise you, what you do for God is the only thing that will last. It is the only thing that has substance. It is the only thing that will see you through. It is the only thing that will keep you out of the darkness. Because as the darkness is constantly calling your name, you will find that the voice of Jesus that you hear through the Holy Spirit will be even louder within your ear. And that's all that you have to listen to. That's all that you have to hear. And I promise you, if you got to have a little bit of your time, watch what will happen in your life. So I'm praying for you, my brother. I'm praying for you, my sister. I'm praying for that marriage. I'm praying for that couple. I'm praying for everybody. I'm praying for you. That the God of light will come in and that it will shine all around you. God bless you. I also want to talk about just for a minute some of the listener questions that have been submitted. I love questions, and please, if you have any questions that you want to ask, you can always ask us through the Facebook page, and we have a Messenger tab open, and you guys can always just flood me with questions. If you have questions, you can flood them. I'm always open to answer your questions. But this one says, "Hello, Pastor. I am not a conspiracy theorist, so please don't take it that way. But in your opinion, who do you believe built the pyramids?" Wow, that is amazing. Who do I think built the pyramids? Well, if I go from the biblical standpoint, I would have to say that in those times, there were giants. The Bible speaks about giants. The Bible says that there were giants. The Bible says if you look over when Israel conquered the land, it says that there were men and women who were so big that Israel appeared to be grasshoppers before them. So I would have to say, in my opinion, if not taking it to the point of extraterrestrials, because at the end of the day, you know, there's still no proof for that, but there is proof that giants did walk this earth. So if I had to give you an answer, I would say the giants. Again, I'm not a conspiracy theorist as well, but to answer your question, that would be the answer that I would give. All right. Next question is, "Hey, Pastor D, are you aware that the story of Jesus has been around for thousands of years before the life of Jesus?" Absolutely. I am aware of that, and yet again, I still believe. Yet again, I still hold on to my foundation of faith. Yet again, I still know and believe that Jesus is my everything. And even if we take it a step further and we just call him by his Hebrew name, Yahshua, I do believe that Esau, as the Muslims call him, I do believe that he is still the one that saved my soul. Now, if I live this life, okay, believing in Jesus, and I die and I find out that there is no Jesus, that there was no Jesus, that no Jesus ever existed on this plane, then what does it profit me at that point? I've lived a life of servitude. I lived a life as a servant leader. I touched people's heart. I enlightened somebody. I helped people. I did all that I could do to make this world a better place. I left my mark here on this earth. So what do I die with? You know what I die with? I die with a full heart, knowing that I did what was right. I did what was right at all times. And I always tried to do what was right at all times. So that's what I die with. And if I wake up and find out that there is no Jesus, it doesn't bother me. But what would happen if you spent your life not believing and you died and found out that Jesus did exist? At that point, you now lived a life of unbelief. And now have to deal with the repercussions of not believing. Is it worth it? Why not live a life, do good, be good, do what is asked of you, and allow the Lord to have his way? Period. I don't care about what would have, could have, should have, Horus, Isis. I know all the stories. But still at the end of it, I choose to follow Jesus. The third question is, hey, Pastor D, what drives you? What drives me in every area of my life is being the best. My mother always told me, in whatever you do, be the best. She said, I don't care if you go out and you pick up trash for a living. Be the best trash picker that you can be. Whatever you do. And thus, I am my own worst critic. My members in my church would tell you, those who are in authority over me on my secular job would tell you, that's me. I seek to do the best. I am a shark when it comes to my work ethic. I never stop moving. There's always something that I can do. And in those same, in that same time, I always seek to learn something new every single day. In my secular life and in my spiritual life, I try to learn something new every single day. Something that I did not know. Something that would better my working craft. That's what drives me, to be the best. And then when I am giving accolades, when I am given, when I'm blessed in promotions, all that, everything that goes on, I give my glory to God for giving me the strength to move on. So that's what pushes me. I work as if I am working unto God. That's what drives me. That's what pushes me to be the best. Because I serve an on-time God. And if I serve an on-time God, truly, I'm telling you, he's going to make things right. So that's what pushes me. Is my desire to see God happy in every area of my life. Last question is, hello, Pastor D. What can you give me as advice for a soon-to-be married woman? Well, this would not just be for the married woman, but this would also be for the soon-to-be married man. Learn to forgive. You have to become excellent in forgiveness. Make up in your mind that your vows are sacred. When you take those vows to love and to honor, to cherish, until death do you part through sickness and in health, write it on the tablet on your heart and bind it around your neck. Ego and put it in your pocket. And last but not least, be able to take accountability for your actions. There will be times that you will have to take accountability for some things that you have done. And you may hurt your significant other. You may do some things that they may not like, but you have to be able to take accountability for that. And when you take accountability for that, that not only pushes you to be a better spouse, but it also lets your spouse know that you have their best interests at hand. So that means you have to take accountability for some things that may happen in your marriage and some things that you don't want to deal with. But if you have done it, take accountability. Never try to shift the blame onto your spouse, because all it does is create more havoc, more issues, and more problems. So learn how to take accountability, master the art of forgiveness, tuck your ego in your pocket, and simply say, Lord, I am here and I will honor my vows. I will honor this person. And sometimes it's going to be hard, but guess what? I'm still going to do what I am supposed to do. Because by doing what I'm supposed to do, I know your blessings will flow. And that's advice not only for the soon-to-be married couple or the soon-to-be married man or woman, but that's just advice for any married couple. There's some married couples that still have not mastered any of the things that I just said, but guess what? It is important that we know it, and it's important that we try and that we do better every single day. Amen, amen, and amen. Please keep the questions coming. I love questions, and matter of fact, I love answering them. So I am at your disposal as pastor of this network. You have me again here to help any way that I can, to push and to provide and to help and to nurture. That is my calling, my gift. It is my greatest honor, and it is my joy. God bless you, and may God keep you. I want to get into the scripture for a second. The scripture will come out of the book of James, chapter 1, beginning with verse 19. And it reads, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not just hearers only. But by hearing only, you only deceive your own selves. For if anyone be a hearer and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding a natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds." Just for a few minutes, I want to speak on just that. Obedience. Sacrifice. And love. The key to a healthy relationship with God. Thought about that for a couple weeks. Obedience is not just doing things when you're in a season of growth or when you are in a season of reaping the harvest that you have planted. I find that most people will turn to God when things are going good in their lives and when things are going straight in their lives and they don't have any issues or any problems or complaints or issues with men or issues on their job or issues in their relationships or they turn to God. And they'll love God when everything in their lives are going good and when everything in their lives are plentiful and everything in their lives are just how they want it to be. And they'll turn and they'll give God the praise during that time and everything is good and praise God. But what happens in the season of drought? When you are in a season of drought, when you do not know where your next meal is going to come from, when you do not know what's around that corner, when you do not know if your job is going to keep you because of whatever the situation may be, when you are in the midst of a drought, it's at that time, do you still give God the same praise that you would give him when you are in a season of harvest? You see, I've learned that some Christians, some people that call themselves Christians, do not and will not serve God on that other side. You see, they're good to give God the praise when good is happening, but when bad is happening, they question God. God, why me? Why this? What have I done? Why do I have to go through this? Well, many times it's not anything that you have done. It's the simple fact that God wants to be sure that as he is about to bless you, as he is about to fix it, as he is about to turn it around for you, he wants to make sure that you are in the right position to receive the blessings that he has for you. Oh yeah. I'm speaking directly to you. You see, when you give God some of your time, God will give you even more of his time. When you allow God to have his way in your life, when you allow that obedient spirit to fall upon you, and that you will serve God even in the midst of your struggles, even in the midst of the rain, even in the midst of you sinking down in that water, and most of us are afraid to drown. Amen. But when you are down in that water, do you still give God the praise, or do you say, Lord, save me? You see, that's the question that I want to ask you on this day. Is what do you do in the midst of your struggles? Do you still have that obedient heart in knowing and saying, Lord, you still going to make a way for me? Even if I don't see it, I'm still going to be obedient to your word. I'm going to still love on somebody. I'm going to still praise your name. I'm going to still glorify you, because at the end of it, my spirit is telling me that I must be obedient to your word despite the fact. I'm reminded about the three Jewish boys who Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We often speak about them, amen. But the mere fact of it wasn't the fact that they were in the fiery furnace, that they were thrown in by Nebuchadnezzar's guards. Forget all of that. That's not even the key. That was the point of what they were trying to get us to understand. They wanted us, the reader, to know that what they said, which was key, was that even if God did not come down here and save them, that even if God did not come down to save them, that he was still God anyhow. That he was still the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That he was still the God that made the firmament. That he was still the God that made that turn the night into day. That he was still the God that caused the land to rise up out of the sea. That he was still the God that filled the sea with the fish. That filled the land with the birds and the animals. And then eventually made human beings and breathed the breath of life into them. That he is still the same God. Even if he don't come down and save us, we still going to give him the praise. Because our souls are obedient unto God. Second part is a big one for a lot of people. It's a really, really big one. And that's love. Love. And I know I'm going out of order, but it's all right. Love. Do you know that the love that you have within you cover a multitude of sins? I thank God for the ability to love. Because when I think about love, you know, in my secular life and even in my spiritual life, I have a whole lot of haters. I've had even pastors who hate that young boy don't deserve what he got. What did he do to get that? And those same spirits ring in my other ear on the other side. But let me explain it to you. It's nothing that this young boy has done. It is the simple fact that I have put aside anything that may cause me to look like I am foolish, and I have picked up the love stick. I love everybody. I treat everybody with a token of love. I don't need to be taught how to love my fellow man. I don't care if you red, black, blue, or green, gay, straight, or indifferent. It does not matter to me. I'm going to love you anyhow. And because I have decided to love you anyhow, it is what has pushed me to where I am today. I am one to tell you that if you decide to love on somebody, the love, and it is genuine love, love will make a way for you. You have to even love those that you know talk about you. You have to love those that spitefully misuse you. You have to love those when you know that you have heard them hurl insults, breathe fire on you. It is still your responsibility to love on some folks. Because let me tell you what happened. When you love on somebody who has truly done some nasty, negative things to you, and you don't return fire for fire, you will find that you will turn an enemy into a friend. Not only an enemy into a friend, but that same enemy who dogged you and who talked about you and who said all these selfish and hateful and mean things to you will have to tell the world that they were wrong. They will have to tell all those around them that they joined in with to dog you and to disrespect you and to make you feel as if you were undeserving of anything that God gave you. Turn it around and say, yes, he does. Yes, she does. Because I was wrong in my thoughts, and because I was wrong in my thoughts, I have to tell this world that the love that this person gave unto me when I was down on my luck, it truly blessed my heart. And together now, I will give praise unto God, the same God that they gave praise for and praise to. Love is this key component of within a healthy relationship with God. Why? Because God so loved this world that he gave up his only son so that we may live. Yet while we were sinners, it was God's design that Christ would die for us. It was God's design because of the love that he had for his creation. Not the love that the creation had for the creator, but the love that the creator had for his creation. That he called his son out from his heavenly places to take on that which was sinful, that which was dirty and nasty, which is flesh, and to live a holy life. A life of love, to be beaten, whipped, flogged, hurt, treated like a common criminal for nothing. And he did it all out of love. so that one day somebody somewhere would give God the glory for the love that Jesus has for his people. My Lord. Third part, sacrifice. Sacrifice is the biggest part in this whole pie. If you are not willing to give up yourself in order so that God will be glorified, you are in the wrong place. Let me explain it to you. In everything that we do, in all that we are to give of ourselves so that somebody will see the goodness of God. Sometimes it's sacrificing our own areas, our own happiness, so that somebody else will be happy. Someone told me a couple of days ago, boy, you work too much. You will never have a life because you work too much. You will never find a wife because you work too much. You will never be happy because you work too much. But let me explain it to you. I work, again, as if I am working unto God. And everything that I do in my life is a sacrifice unto God. If I'm able to see my good works that I've done in a day, and I am and I give God the glory, guess what? God is magnified, and God will then reward me openly. Your sacrifices, your love, and your obedience will open up a door for you that this world cannot close. It will your gifts will make room for you in the midst of a situation that you don't understand, but because you have placed them around your neck and you have placed them as parts of your life, your obedience, your love, and your sacrifice will take you places that you've never seen before, and it will fix your mind, it will fix your spirit, and it will fix your tongue to have a life that everybody will see your good works. I'm a grinder. All I know is work. When I die, my tombstone is going to say, a great worker for God and in this world. And I sacrifice. I live a life, a fasted life. I give up my life so that others may see the light. I would give up. I would give up this life right here. I would die. I would leave my family if it meant that somebody, a stranger, wouldn't know Christ. I would give up this life. You know why? Because my sacrifice would not be in vain. And I know that's hard for some people to hear, but I would do it simply because I know where my soul is going. And I know where I would end up. And I know that on that day, I will glorify God. Your sacrifice should be better than anything in this world. If you are not living a life of sacrifice, I urge you to open up your life and to let God in. Every day that you wake up, you ought to say, Lord, what can I do to make this day better? I'm going to be obedient to you. I'm going to find a way not to say yes, but a way to be obedient. I'm going to find a way to sacrifice something for somebody today, even if it's my last dollar. I want to give you our testimony real fast. And most people, when I tell them, they are so amazed by this story. But there have been so many supernatural blessings that have happened in my life that I just cannot deny the fact of God, that of the God that exists. And it is why I am formulated the way that I am. This is not a gimmick. This is not a hoax. This is who I am. And I want to tell you that one time earlier in my life, as a closeout, that I was running late to work, my secular job. And I had left some money at home, and I ran back home to get my money and fell down my stairs trying to get back out so I could get to work. And I was just riding down the street trying to duck and dodge through the cars because I did not want to be late. And as I was at a light, and it was dead winter, snowing, and I looked to my right, and I seen a man wrapped up in some carpet, sleeping on a bench where it was snowing. God instructed me to stop my car right there and to get out and to give him that money that I had ran back home for. And I said, Lord, I got 5 minutes, and I will be late to work, to my word. You said that you are a lover of mankind. Show me how a man that loves my people will sacrifice. I parked my car and I got out and I went over to him and I said, sir, someone told me to give this to you. And he looked at me, he said, thank you, young man. Got back in my car and I drove off. But the ironic, the crazy part to me was I was not late to work, as I was already running late. I was not late to work. When I tell you that I serve a God that can do all things, I'm here to let you know that your obedience, the love that you have for people, the love that you have for the church, and the sacrifices that you make despite anything that's going on, keep you. God will keep you in the midst of it all. This is my word for you today. I pray that it will touch you. I pray that somebody here understands and see what I am talking about. Move on, some folk. Be obedient to God and live a life of sacrifice. God bless you. May God keep you. Amen. Amen. And amen. Brother Kim, do we have anybody on that may want to give a word?
Well, we have a few folks on. This is your time that the pastor set aside for you guys. Please press the number one to let us know that you would like to come on air and talk to the pastor.
And greetings to you, brother. We didn't get a chance to greet each other. I just wanted to say thank you for all that you do, sir.
It's my pleasure, man. Sorry about that. I was back here working and messing with the gizmos.
I understand, brother. I understand.
The internet gremlins were at work.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Hey, but we made it through, brother. Just one more time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, indeed.
Amen. I won't press number one yet. Come on, guys. This is your chance. If you would like to come on live and ask a question or maybe ask for the pastor to give a prayer for someone who may need it. Now's your time.
I would also like to lift up a special prayer for Sister Mildred, who had a brain aneurysm, amen, and she is the aunt to one of my ministers on my staff, and she is a believer in the word, amen, and I just want to say, take a moment just to say, Lord, bless her, and Lord, keep her, and Lord, despite the fact of what's going on, you have the ultimate say-so. So, Lord, we trust and believe in you that you will make all things right. But, Lord, bless this family in the midst of whatever is going on. And, Father God, you have the final say-so. So, Father, let it go forth. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're down to our last 3 minutes. Amen. If anybody has a word, please come on and let's have some dialogue. Amen. I love speaking to my people. Amen. As we see that there are, amen. As we see that there are none, amen. Amen. All right. Well, we will just take this time to say thank you for listening today, amen. Thank you for blessing us today, amen. On behalf of Brother Hakim and Sister Michelle, we are HubNet, amen. We are HubNet. We have a ton of shows on our station here, amen. And the Jubilee Affair is just one of them, amen. We have shows all during the week, and I am just excited. I am happy. I am every emotion that you can think of. It is a true blessing to be a part of such a great network, and this is just the start of something great, and I tell you to stay tuned, amen. Brother Hakim, would you like to acknowledge and speak about the different shows that we have on the network?
Yeah, sure. HubNet Online, we have the Shoebox Talk hosted by Ms. Janet Jackson, myself, and Darius Jones. You can tune in every Saturday now at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. And we also have a few music programs that are coming. We have a few more talk shows that are coming, so check us out. Stay tuned. You could find our entire library on www.blogtalkradio.com/HubNet Online. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. And on behalf of this HubNet family, I just want to say thank you. May God bless you. May God keep you is my prayer. And wherever you are in this world, tell someone that you love them. Mean it. Show it. And if you do just that, watch how God will bless it. Thank you again. God bless you. God bless you all. We are signing off.
Everything happening today, you don't know whether you're coming or going, but you think that you're on your way. Life lined up on the mirror, don't blow it. Whoa, look at me when I'm talking to you. You looking at me, but I'm looking through you. I see the blood in your eyes. I see the love in disguise. I see the pain hidden in your pride. You're not satisfied, and I don't see nobody else. I see myself. I'm looking at the
mirror on the wall.
Whoa.
Here we are again.
Yeah.
Through my rise and fall, you've been my only friend.
Yeah.
You told me that they can understand.
Truth in your lies. I see nobody.
somebody by your side. But I'm with you when you're all alone, and you correct me when I'm looking wrong. I see the guilt beneath the shame. I see your soul through your window pane. I see the scars that remain. I see Wayne, I'm looking at the
mirror on the wall. Here we are again. So my rise and fall. You've been my only friend.
My only friend.
They told me that they can understand the man I am.
They
so I'll be here talking to each other again.
Looking at me now, I can see my past. I look just like my dad. Light it up, that smoke and mirrors. I even look good in the broken mirror. I see my mama smile, that's a blessing. I see the change, I see the message. And no message could have been any clearer. So I'm starting with the man in the
mirror on the wall.
MJ taught me that.
Here we are again. Through my rise and fall. You've been my only friend.
Take them to Mars, man.
You told me that they can understand the man I am. So why are we talking to each other again?
BP, looks like I did take him to Mars this time.